Okay, thank you for that wonderful intro, and thank you all for coming. So this work has pretty much been a year of my life, although most of it sort of, when I look at it now, we ended up choosing work from the summer coming forward, but it's been kind of in the works for the past year or year and a half. And for those of you maybe that came in first and like walked by the framed pieces over there, that's kind of like where some of these pieces are grounded. Those are truth tables. I call them my truth tables. And basically kind of truth has always been something that's important to me in my work, sort of like thinking about the truth, kind of like probing into the conventions of truth. And truth certainly has been under fire for the past couple years. So that has been sort of near and dear to my heart. And I was starting to think in my studio, my artist practice, you know, how can I kind of come up with a system where I can like prove something true or false? There's got to be some system of logic that I can apply where I can say this is like absolutely true. Like I wanted something that could be, you know, where I could ground the work in. So I took some of my visual vocabulary of shape that I've been working with for years now and plugged them into this idea of a truth table. So having kind of these logical statements. So, you know, if this, then that would, and that would make something true. And if it was reversed, then maybe it would be false. So all this work kind of comes out of that, and the smaller pieces are sort of the lead up to it when I was sort of playing around with the idea. But with those truth tables, I assigned one to each of the larger paintings, so there are four larger paintings. And when I was working in the studio, I actually had printouts of them, like kind of pinned next to around the paintings, and I would sort of refer to them when I got to a point where I felt the paintings were sort of hitting a wall or I didn't know what was the next move. I would refer back to that table. And if you look at the names of these paintings in parentheses, there's sort of a number that relates to the tables. Now, it's not a direct kind of correlation, so you might see some shapes that relate to the tables, but they all were there at some point. They just might have gotten embedded into the layers of the painting. So sort of thinking about like what kind of visual sort of shape or vocabulary would create a true statement in a visual image, but then kind of complicating it with the fact that I use sort of Trump lawyer, drop shadows, things that are actually false. So, you know, something that has, you know, a shadow that's alluding to space on the 2D surface, like it's flat, that actually is not true. So sort of kind of like turning you around and also thinking about these intersecting planes. So at first glance, you know, the space might read a certain way, but as you spend more time with it, it unfolds and maybe becomes sort of something else that's unexpected. So sort of thinking of these alternate, you know, worlds or realities where it's sort of what we think is familiar in terms of space and kind of lighting conditions might kind of like shift. And then obviously color is an important aspect of my work. I really liked, you know, saturated colors and sort of thinking about kind of the emotive or psychological space of having these sort of bright colors together, or in some cases maybe like a simultaneous contrast that sort of creates, you know, more depth or a little bit of a conflict between the colors. And then as far as I mentioned, the shapes are something that I've just been developing for years. They're sort of, you know, reoccurring shapes like this that kind of allude to sort of the brushstroke that's been kind of turned into a graphic shape, so almost like a symbol of the artist's mark rather than the mark itself. And I build up the paintings with a lot of layers, and in some cases use more of a subtractive method where I kind of sand back to reveal things that were on previous layers. Yeah, I think that sort of covers it. Are there questions? Does anyone have any questions about the work, or
well, some of them appear almost like spray paint, or are they airbrush?
Yes, some of them I use. Most of them have a little bit of airbrush, some more than others. Also, I use stencils to either create the shapes or mask out the shapes if I want to add, you know, a color after the fact around them. So, yeah, I use the airbrush, you know, basically to kind of create those sort of subtle kind of shadows or variations, so gradations. So,
how much do you work out before you actually start applying paint, and how much is more serendipitous?
So, a lot of the paintings, I'll just sort of, you know, approach them really intuitively and just kind of make marks on them to get rid of that white surface, or paint them a solid color, like that green painting and this green painting started out with that green base color to sort of get things moving. And then they get to a certain point where I photograph them and actually start working with them on my iPad to work out some of the, I have a paint program that I use to work out, you know, some of the color combinations. Because, you know, something like this on the iPad, I can try like 25 different colors and then be like, okay, it's that color. But then also trying to make the translation from, you know, the iPad color, which is sort of made with light, versus, you know, having it in paint. So there's also changes that happen when it gets translated into the paint. But I get to a certain point where I do work some of it out on the iPad, and then from the iPad, you know, starting to work back into it, it changes again. So it's kind of like a back and forth.
Very mind-boggling. Because it's color, it's translucence, it's depth, and yeah.
So, are there any other questions about the paintings?
Thank you, Dana.
All right, thank you. Yes.